all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning. Ask Brother Yeboah if he would lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
My God, we are thankful to thee for granting us this privilege to be at thy feet this morning.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, not for ourselves, but all those coming, Lord. May they be guided and protected to come in safely. Father, we are here. We would like to approach your word and live your word. Father, we are weak, but thou art strong. That is why we rely on you for our safety and guidance and protection. Father, I commit, Lord, our brother who leads the Sunday school to thy hand.
Yes.
May you, O Father, envelop him and speak through him, Father, and help us, Lord God, to achieve the purpose that you require of us, Lord.
Yes.
Help us, Father, in our weaknesses, Lord, to throw away all those worldliness, Lord, and to cleave to you, Father, and to follow the footsteps laid down in the word. Father, have mercy, and let this gospel cloth envelop us, Father, and take us through to the rightful position that we shall, O Father, be prepared for the period to take the rapture. Father, help us, Lord, and guide us through thy holiness. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if we would, to our Bibles, to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. The scripture reads, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Continuing on with the subject, identification, and we're talking about identification, we are identifying the characteristics of Christ, identifying the characteristics of Christ in the believer. And through this study, we will also probably touch on the characteristics or the identification of the opposite spirit, which is the spirit of the devil or the wicked one, the Antichrist. But taking this as a basis, and we look in Philippians chapter 2 and talking about the whole picture of Christ and the characteristic of Christ, the mind of Christ, and then the qualities or the characteristics of him. You see, you look in verse 7 and 8 and all the characteristics, no reputation, the form of a servant, humbled himself, was obedient unto death. Those are identifying the characteristics of Christ. Now, I want to just touch on this just for a second here, because we know that this time period that we're living in is deceptive. We know that. The scripture speaks of it. It says the elect will be deceived if it were possible. Speaking in Matthew chapter 24 of the last day. And so as we look at this scripture and what the prophet had told us, because the prophet took the scriptures and helped us to see those scriptures for our day, a further opening of the scriptures, right? He did not add to the scriptures, but he was further opening or revealing the scriptures. Now I want us to turn, if we would, to the scripture in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And we'll be reading 21 through 23. So it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So we see in the scripture here that there is a people, ministry, what have you, that are preaching the word of God. They have signs and wonders and different works, but they're not doing the will of the Father. And so what is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is the Word. Now, when we look at the Word, remember the Word is a thought expressed. And so it is the characteristic of God. It is the mind of God. It is all the attributes of God. Can we all agree to that? And so everything that was in God's personality, his mind, his thoughts, his hearts, and everything was expressed through that word. So he spoke that word and it came to life, the things that was in his mind, whether it was light, whether it was this earth, whether it was anything that he had created. And so we know that the full manifestation of God was revealed through Jesus Christ. So we know that through the message, the masterpiece, Brother Branham speaks of all throughout time from Genesis all the way to the culmination or the headstone manifestation in Jesus Christ, God was displaying his attributes or his qualities. It was not the fullness, but it was the fullness came upon when Jesus Christ came here on earth, right? So Abraham displayed a measure of Christ. Noah displayed a measure of Christ. Elijah demonstrated a measure of Christ. Joseph demonstrated a measure of Christ, right? Now, it was not the fullness. Now, when we talk about a measure of Christ, here's for example. So Joseph, the son of Jacob, displayed the measure of Christ. And so when we look at the pattern of his life, then we can see that life in the scriptures, right? So when we look at Joseph's life, he was hated of his brethren. He was the youngest. He was spiritual. And he was hated because he was spiritual. He was sold for 20 pieces of silver or so. And then eventually he was lifted to the right hand of Pharaoh. And so we know that that same pattern was the life of Christ. And I know some of us know this, but I'm just trying to make a point here. So Jesus, hated of his brethren, right? The Jews, the religious people of that day, hated of his brethren, rejected, sold for 30 pieces of silver, was buried, died, buried, and rose again, and then was lifted up to the right hand of God. So you see those same patterns or characteristics that are demonstrated, although Joseph did not demonstrate the full characteristics of Christ, he only demonstrated a portion. But when you add them all together from Genesis up to when Christ came, they were all added up, and then they were fully manifested. The sum of all that was in Jesus Christ. And so he demonstrated or revealed the full thought and mind of God, right? And so by his life and what he did, then he made it possible for us to do the same thing. It was not possible before then, but because a sinful person, a person created through sex, sinful human desire could not redeem man, but it had to be a pure and perfect one who came by the Word, into the pattern of the Word. And then by coming through the pattern of the Word, then he could redeem man back to his rightful position. And then man could now manifest and reveal Christ through their life because it's not their life, it's Christ's life living through them and manifesting. If they yield themselves to Christ. So now when we look here, so we're talking about a people that are demonstrating a portion of something of Christ, but not the characteristic of Christ. Now when we look in the message of the hour, different ones, and anointed ones at the end time, different scriptures, looking at the life of Judas, looking at the life of Demas, looking at the life of different people that had followed Christ, we know that there is a characteristic of those that continue to follow the God or the ministry, the true word ministry, but they eventually, some of them fall off, right? And so we know that in the wilderness, there were people following their ministry of Moses, a true ministry, a vindicated prophet, a word prophet, but eventually, the people that began to fall off. And then there were just a small number that stayed with that true ministry, right? And so in the life of Jesus, when he was, his ministry started out, there started out to be a lot of people, the multitudes, right? But that got weaned down, and it went to 70 ministers that were with Jesus. And then he spoke the word, and then he said something that made many of them leave him. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. So many of them fell off. And so there were a small number that stayed with Jesus and followed that. Now, they all had a ministry. They all preached the word. They all had signs following. Remember, Jesus gave them power to do these things, right? But when it came down to the fullness or the manifestation, there was something that happened that caused Judas to fall off. Although Judas had those, he was preaching the word, he was had those signs and different things, he saw something that caused him to fall off. Satan came into his heart, and then he betrayed Jesus. Now, if you remember, in this last day, there is a ministry for the bride, because she will do the same works that Jesus did, right? Now, let's turn, if we would, just for a reference, John chapter 14, verse 11. John chapter 14, verse 11. Scripture reads, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do," that's Jesus, shall he do also, talking about the bride or the followers of Christ. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So the same works that Jesus did, remember, Jesus was the full manifestation of Christ. And so the same works that Jesus did, the bride will do. And so now we look and see that, what is the difference as we move on closer to the end? What is the difference between the make-believer and the true believer? What is the difference between the Judas and the followers of Jesus Christ, right? So as we got closer to the end, remember, signs. Brother Branham told us that Satan can impersonate any kind of a sign, right? So we know that it's not sign. We know that Judas preached the word. So we know that it's not preaching the word and signs. Now, when we look, remember, Jannes and Jambres, those two that mimicked what Moses did. Remember, Moses laid down the rod, and then Jannes and Jambres, they laid down the rod. So that was not a sign of Christ, just because they could do the miracles. And so when we take it further, remember, Brother Branham makes this statement, you can't teach supernatural things to Pentecostal babies. So we know that the time of the Pentecost, the progression, we know that Luther, Wesley, on the progression, and then the Pentecostal age was displaying the signs, restoration of the gifts into the church. And let me correct myself. He says a gift, K can be impersonated by Satan, right? Now, so we look and we see the restoration of gifts, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophesying. All these different gifts were restored into the church. But he said that was not it. And so when we look further, there's going past those signs. There's going past the preaching of the word. That is going to the revelation of Christ himself. And when you look and you see the difference is the very life. The very life that was displayed. The characteristics of what was displayed. Now, when we look in the message of the hour, we know that the seals were opened in 1963 and it was a revealing of Christ. Now, when we look at some of those messages afterwards, remember, the revelation of Christ was to show who he was and the characteristics of who he was so that we could not be deceived. And so, therefore, as when you look at the ministry as it's going forth in 1964 and 1965, there are several messages preached about the characteristics of God, the identification of God, the identification of the masterpiece of Christ, identified Christ of all ages, God identifying himself through his characteristics. And so now we look. Remember, he says, if you don't believe me, believe the works, for they are they that testify of who I am. Do you all remember that scripture? I want to see if I can get that here so that we can all get caged on that. Okay. In John chapter 10, he makes this statement, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now he says, later in the scripture, he says, 34, he says, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, though you don't believe what I say, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So in other words, he's saying the life and the things that he did, they identified who he was. Now I'm going to bring this example. So remember the men on the road to Emmaus, so they didn't recognize Christ. They were walking with him. They were Jesus Christ was in flesh, but they could not recognize him. Although they saw him with their eyes in flesh, when he rose again, they did not recognize him. Are we all together on that, right? So there was something, as remember they spoke of the scriptures and their hearts began to burn. And then Jesus did something. And then their eyes were opened and they knew him. So it was something that he did, a characteristic that he had, that they recognized and said, that's the Lord, right? They weren't looking at the flesh. They weren't looking at his face. They weren't looking at the long hair. They weren't looking at the mustache and beard. Maybe he didn't even have a mustache and beard. Maybe he didn't have long hair because they couldn't recognize him. But there was something that he did that their eyes were open and they knew him. So we're trying to look past the bright, shiny objects that are in the church, right? We're looking past that because the bride is looking at that word. Now, when I say that word, we're not just talking about the printed, but it is who Christ is. It is the person of Christ. The word is a person of Christ, not a written word that you can read like a newspaper, but is identifying who that Christ is. Because when you see the Pharisees, they had the written word and they had a word, but they did not understand the word because he was standing there right there in the face And they called him the devil. They called him Beelzebub. So we know it's not just knowing and memorizing the written word. It's got to be a revelation of who Christ is. Now, we're going to move on from there. So we know that if we don't have the pure, unadulterated word in our life, then we become stale, we become powerless. And that's what a lot of the church world is today, we know. Because they've mixed their ideas, their creeds, their denominational thinking, they're adding to the Word of God, and by doing that or adding their thoughts to the Word of God, they've taken and made the Word without power, right? And the Scripture in Timothy talks about having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And so when we deny, however small it is, some portion of the thought of God or what He wants us to do, then we lose or we cut ourselves off from God. And so we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power. Do you understand there? And so that's why He talks about little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump, and we do not want that in our life. And we mentioned it last time. Brother Rand makes a statement, if the salt has lost its testimony, its savor, its drawing power, then it can no more heal or save. And so when we accept that, then we lose the power of Christ. We may gather together. We may have a preaching of the word. We may sing songs together. We may do all kinds of things and be happy. But if we don't have the fullness of Christ, that power of the word, then it's just a social gathering. Now, I'm going to move on from here and go to this statement that, so Brother Rand makes this, he reads a scripture in Philippians chapter 2, and then he makes this statement. He says, talks about identification, identified in the likeness of Bible characters. So now he says this, I'm sure tonight that we ought to find ourselves somewhere in some character of the Bible, so that we would know the outcome of that character and know what our outcome will be. So how many of us have had a revelation of seeing ourselves in the Scriptures, some pattern of the Scriptures? And so some of us have, but that's what he's saying here. If we are a part of Christ, then we should see ourselves in the Scriptures. Now, I know that's totally different from what the church world thinks and the denominational thinking is, but when we look at the Word and we see that if we are a predestinated child of God, predestinated means we were in God's thoughts before the foundation of the world. If we were in God's thoughts before the foundation of the world, then we were a part of Him. And if we are a part of Him, then we should be in this Bible. Now, I'm going to read this statement that Brother Branham makes. Now, question and answer is 1964. Here's a question. Brother Branham, someone wants to know why you are not mentioned in the Bible. I believe you are Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 4. So he asked Brother Neville to get that scripture out. Let them read this and study it. Third chapter, think, name, and types of four chapters, believe. I believe is you. So now this person has got a good thought and a good question. Hey, I want to know where you're mentioned in the Bible. And so now you've got Brother Branham doesn't scold this person, right? But you've got a human way of thinking and trying to apply it to the Scriptures. And so we know that God's thoughts are different. And so we can't think of God with our own human mind. We can't try to add 2 + 2 with the Scriptures and get the right answer. It's got to be something that God opens to us up by grace. Now, he says this. Now, while he's hunting that, it's Habakkuk 2, 1 through 4. Brother or sister, everyone asks a question. There's no name, that's fine. I like for you to ask those things. I know what's on your heart. And then I'll tell you, no, see, you wouldn't have to necessarily have your name such as Brother Marcel, Brother Duncan in the scriptures, he says this, but you see, as long as you're in the Bible, as long as you're in Christ, you are in the Bible. You're in Him, you see, in the Bible. See, as long as you are in Christ, then you are in the fullness of the Bible. See, you are in your full position when you're in Christ. All understand that. Now, some of us have seen that, and some of us haven't. And we're all in different levels of walking, but we all are here for a purpose. And, you know, like we mentioned last Sunday, everybody's here for a different motivation. But for those that are here because God has supernaturally drawn their heart to this place to hear the Word of God, then they are wanting to feed and they will grow in Christ as they're feeding on that Word. They may not have all the answers right now, but God is bringing them to that position. Now, I want to make this statement here about, so the bride has a ministry. I want to take for reference here of what the scriptures and the message of the hour talk about on that subject. How many was here when Brother George Martin was preaching on a Sunday? Maybe some people here. He mentioned something about a ministry, and if you look in the scriptures, many ministries, about three and a half years. Do you all remember that spoken of? So we look at Jesus' ministry of 3.5 years. We look at the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11 was about 3.5 years. We look at different characters in the Bible. Their ministry was about 3.5 years. Now, in Question and Answers 1962, May 27th, he says this. Brother Mann makes this comment. Statistics shows that a man's message lasts 3 years, any of them. Then he lives upon his reputation the rest of the time till God calls him. Now, that's been since Christ. His was 3.5, see, and shows it all down. Spurgeon, Knox, Calvin, all the way down, it shows 3 to 3.5 years is the limit for a man's ministry. The rest of it, his candles burnt. He lives on his past reputation. If he's been evil, his works follow him. If he's been right, his works follow him. That's all. And you can see that throughout the scriptures, especially in the book of Kings. You can see the different kings, the ones that did right, what happened, ones that did wrong, what happened. Now, what did that mean? I've been preaching to this church here and telling you that I believe there was a great one coming. I believe and have told you that I believe that the scriptures support that there will be a messenger of the last church age. I believe that. I've looked for that person to appear. I've watched constantly. Now, we know that our prophet was opening the scriptures to us, and he made certain statements. And so I want you to keep some things in mind before you make a judgment in your mind. It's very, I would caution you before you make a statement or a conclusion sometimes, because sometimes we get an understanding of the Bible or the scriptures and we get a revelation, but it's only limited. And so we know the scriptures are eternal. So God continues to reveal and open the scriptures to us. And so he makes a statement. He says, God's revealed this to me, but he always puts a comma at the end. He says, and as the Lord gives me more revelation. He doesn't put a period. He says, don't put a period at the end, right? And so I say that because when we look at this, 3.5 years, because you can take things of the message and make doctrines and put a period at it, and it could cause damage. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, for instance, you could take the 70 weeks of Daniel, and you could calculate things a certain way, and you could come up with an answer, but that not be how God is revealing it. So, I'm trying to make a point here. So, he gives a general period of time for a ministry. So now he says this, what a perfect type it is of Christ, the anti-type, a male, a lamb, and he was tested for 3.5 years of his ministry through critics and everything. Now he says this. Now talking about the seventh angel's ministry. Them mysteries will be revealed in the last day when the seventh angel's message, but when he begins to sound his message. See, not the years in preparation, but when he begins to sound the message, these mysteries then will be revealed. And here they are, not knowing them, and you people are a witness of that. So we're speaking of Revelation chapter 10 as a reference. He says this also in the Anointed Ones at the End Time. Notice the very day when this messenger, talking about the seventh messenger, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. See? So he talks about a preparation and a beginning, and then he talks about a declaration of his message. So we know that Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, that he was a child, he was 12 years old, and he was doing things, but his ministry really started when he, after the Jordan River, right? That was a 3.5 years. And I'm trying to make a point that there is a time of preparation. And there is a time when you come into the ministry or you come into your ministry. Remember I said the bride has a ministry. It's spoken of in the message so many different times. So the bride will do the works. So bride, you have a ministry. And so you are to come to a maturation. You are come to a time of maturity when all these things spoken of in the scriptures and the message come to manifestation.
Amen. Amen.
And so I say that because when we were talking about the different levels, some have seen themselves in the scriptures and some have not. And it all depends on where your walk is right now, right? But when you come to a full maturity, then you and Christ become one.
Amen.
You have the same thoughts that he did.
Amen.
What you say is God backing it up.
Amen.
Just like when the prophet said squirrels and there were squirrels there. And the same thing, when the time comes and the revelation comes for us to do those things, then those things happen. So he says, I'm sure tonight that we ought to find ourselves somewhere in some character of the Bible so that we would know the outcome of that character and know what our outcome will be. So now, if we're a child of God and we rely upon the Word of God, that's where our answers is to life. I know it's a little warm in here. I trust that we're able to fight off the demons of sleep. Amen. So, but we should see what our outcome to different situations are. Now, I'm going to read something here. If I can find it, because I moved back and forth. Remember the question that was given to Brother Branham about being mentioned in the Bible? So he says this. Well, I'd imagine this dear person that asked this, you see, it's somebody that loves me or they wouldn't write that, see? Now, I could not say that the Bible does not call my name William Branham or call your name, whoever it is, but we are in him anyhow.
Amen.
And these. And now you see familiar places that refer to in the Bible that says certain things. You see, now if you'll watch, history repeats itself in the Bible. Now, he's going to take an example here, and I want you to remember the scripture is eternal, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he makes this statement, but it applies to today also. So don't just say that this happened to the prophet or this happened to this other person. It's got to happen to you and I. So he says this. I see many of you writing it down. Now, in the third chapter of St. Matthew, it said, and when God called his son out of Egypt, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken, out of Egypt I call my son. Now, if you've got a Scofield or any other reference Bible, if you follow that reference there, that margin reading, it'll bring you back to where he called Jacob, Israel, out of Egypt. So we know that God called the Israel out of Egypt in the Old Testament, right? See, but Jacob was his son that he called out of Egypt. Also, Jesus was his son that he called out of Egypt. So we know in Matthew, he called Jesus out of Egypt because Jesus went to Egypt for a period of time. So that scripture was fulfilled in Jesus. So see, the word of God is never ending. See, we are identify ourselves in the Bible with different. How many remembers my message on identifying yourself with Christian characters? Phoenix, Arizona, where I preached it. Yeah, many of you has got it on the tape. See, identified with Christian characters. See, you can identify yourself anywhere you want to in that scripture if you are a Christian. Christian means Christ-like. That means Christ is in you. And if you're not a Christian, you can identify yourself in the Bible. So we know that both sides are identified in the scriptures. So you can identify actually both spirits in the Bible. See, so I think maybe that would help. I want to get as many of these as I can. Now, I'm going to skip over and come to this example. So how many of you remembers the story of the Shunammite woman in the Bible? Okay. So there was a woman that was barren, and she respected God. She respected his prophet. And eventually God honored what she did and gave her a son, right? And so there's a song. We know that song about the Shunammite woman. But the child died. And so then the woman, she believed in the prophet. Why did she believe in the prophet? Not the man, but the God in the man. And so she respected God in the man, and she went to that prophet and sought him to help her because she knew if there was an answer, he would have the answer. So we know that that prophet did not know the situation, but then God revealed what to do, and then did some laying on of the body, whatever God showed him to do, and the child was brought back to life, right? So we know that our prophet, I believe, was a word prophet, the prophet from this day. And so his life identified the characteristics of Christ. And so this same story was manifested in his life. So we know that there, now it was not just him, but it was part of the bride. So you had the situation. You had a woman that was barren. The Aunt Jemima, she was barren. And she prayed. She got a son from the Lord. And that son grew older, but he got in the wrong crowd. And then he was dying. He was on his deathbed. And she prayed all night that God would heal. And early in the morning, around 4 o'clock, she was weeping and praying, and then God gave her a dream or a vision that her son would raise up, and that God would send Elijah, and how he would be dressed and everything. So we know that that was the situation right here. And so, meantime, God was doing something with Elijah, if you want to take it that way. So there was a plane that was flying, and he was going home, and then all of a sudden there was a storm that brought his plane down. And we know that our prophet, he was following the leading of the Spirit. Amen. And so when you follow the leading of the Spirit, then the manifestation of Christ takes place. Glory. And so as he was led by the Spirit to go, even though his plane was about to take off, he just felt an unction and a push to walk down this road. And he walked out of the nice hotel area. Then he walked into a not-so-nice part of town. And he says, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm just going to continue following this leading. And he began to sing, I'm one of them. And then as he began to walk down, then he saw this Aunt Jemima-looking person. And people know that, you know, she's on the syrup cover, you know, with a rag on her head. Those of you have seen the syrup containers. But she was waiting there, and she was looking at the prophet as he was walking down. She was smiling, right? Because She had saw the manifestation of what she had saw a dream or a vision for, right? And so now she had, remember, she got the answer, right? And now she's seeing the manifestation of that answer. And God told her in the dream that she was that Shunammite woman. And God would send Elijah. And so he came there, and we know the story that she told him what happened. And he said, I just got led by the Spirit of God to come here. Let's go in and pray for this child. And we know that she prayed, and then he prayed, and then this child was brought back to health, right? The venereal disease was gone, and then he got back to health. And we know that there was a testimony later down the road when the prophet came years later into that area of Memphis, Tennessee. So now we look at the scriptures. So that same story of the Shunammite woman and Elijah came to reality in this day. Because you had a bride who was a part of Christ. You had a prophet who was part of Christ. And when the situation came to a certain point, that same scripture was there, came to Jesus today. There's so many other places. When you look at the story, remember the story of Moses and Miriam. This had to do with respects. Let me see if I can bring that up, and then we'll probably have to close here. Okay, so in the message Respects, 1961, there's a story where Brother Branham refers to the story where Miriam gets leprosy. So he makes a statement. You say, well, maybe they were unconverted type. Well, maybe they were. There was mixed multitude went with them, talking about the Israelites in the wilderness. True. But I want to bring another thing into your remembrance. If God sent the messenger and vindicated by the signs that he was the messenger sent from God, then it's up to them to obey this messenger. Exactly. They must obey the messenger and have respects to that messenger. Look at Joshua and Caleb. They stayed right by his side. Yes, sir. Whatever Moses was in, they was in it too, because he was a vindicated word prophet. Whether Moses was right or wrong, because Moses was a man, he was a human being. They stayed right with him anyhow, because they know that was God's messenger. And there one day we find out that even Miriam, a prophetess, and Aaron, the high priest, made fun of Moses' wife because she was an Ethiopian and thought, wasn't there enough women of our own group to marry instead of going down there and marrying that woman? So sometimes we question things, right? And we say that, you know, isn't it supposed to be this way? We've got to be very careful when we're saying that about the man of God. So he says this, that wasn't Moses' choice, that was God's choice of Moses. So they didn't get the revelation, but they knew Moses was a word prophet, but they criticized him and made fun of him. There was a penalty for that. And when they made fun of it, that angered God in such a way until he struck Miriam, the prophetess, full of leprosy, Moses' own sister. Now, the same story happened in the prophet's day. So you remember the time when Joseph, the son of the prophet, was acting up. And then the wife said, go spank him. And he said, I haven't got the nerve. And then she got upset because he wouldn't spank him. And then she slammed the door on the prophet's face, right? And then he was okay as a human being, as a husband. But the Lord spoke to him and said, you need to speak to her. And so this was God speaking to the prophet to speak to Miriam. And he says, you shouldn't have done that. The Lord was not pleased with that. And so what happened after there? Something else happened. She got a tumor in the side. And we know that it turned to the size of a grapefruit. And it was up to the point where it could have been malignant and taken her life. We know the story. And so the same, she had disrespected the prophet of God. And so the same kind of thing happened. Although it wasn't leprosy, something else happened. And so we know that Moses, when this happened, he cried and pleaded to God. And then God had mercy. Even though Miriam did the wrong thing, God honored that prophet's prayer. And so she was healed. The same thing happened when our prophet was praying and pleading with God and saying she didn't mean it and all these different things and extending grace and mercy. And what do we know? She was healed. So now we see that the characteristics of the word are identified the same. Now, I've got testimonies, and I'm sure some people here, and perhaps as we go on, we'll be able to talk about some of those testimonies, because I remember that I was looking for an answer to a certain situation, and God led me to the Scriptures. And just like he says in here, he says to know the outcome of that character, know what our outcome will be. And I found the outcome of what it said in the Scriptures, and God quickened that to my heart. And then when that situation happened, the same outcome happened. Because he's the same God. Amen. And if we're a child of God, amen, and a part of God, the word will be in our life. Amen. Now let's all stand.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for thy word, O Lord. Lord, it comes in such a humble way, O Father, that the people, the groups, they don't see it, O Father, because meant for your predestiny is meant for your bride, O Lord Jesus. Goes over the top of the wise and prudent, O Lord Jesus. We're not looking for big things. We're not looking for great numbers. We're not looking for big churches, O Lord, but we're looking for that revelation of the word, O Lord Jesus. Help us to be able to see it clearly, O Father. Lord Jesus, help each one of us. Help me, O Father, to yield in such a way, O Lord Jesus, that your thoughts come through, O Father, and are spoken in a way so that the people can understand. And Lord, give the people receiving hearts and ears, O Lord Jesus, so that both ends can work together, O Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done. We ask for your guidance with the song service, O Lord, and that you have complete control, and for the preaching of the word, O Lord Jesus. Let the people be blessed, O Lord. Lord Jesus, bless with knowing who you are and to be encouraged, O Father. And if they're going in a direction that they shouldn't, O Lord Jesus, O Lord, why? I believe it's not their intention to do that, O Lord, but to correct it, O Father, in the way that you do. Lord Jesus, help each one of us. We need your grace and mercy more than ever before. We love you and thank you, O Father, and pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.